about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Are you ready to get out of debt and start winning with money? Each week, The Money Champ brings you strategies for getting out of the financial rat race and building long-term wealth. You'll learn tips for getting rid of student loan debt, paying off your house in under 10 years, investing for retirement, and much, much more. And now, The Money Champ, Nick Blair.
Hello everyone, this is your host Nick Blair, and I want to welcome you back to another episode of The Money Champ. Each week we bring you tips and strategies from guest experts on how to win in the financial ring with money. My weekly podcast episodes can be found on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, and please visit my website at themoneychamp.com to find my blog, podcast episodes, and more articles and resources to help you win financially. Today's episode is part of our student loan series. In this series, we talk about the dangers of taking out student loans and how they can negatively impact you financially. On the flip side, we're also going to talk to you about if you have taken out student loans, how to get out of debt as quick as possible, and actually how to avoid the student loans altogether. Today, I have Jadeep joining me all the way from Toronto, Canada. Jadeep was able to get his MBA from one of the top business schools in the land, and he's going to share his student loan success story with us. Jadeep, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
You don't have the typical college success story to share with us today. In reading your bio, I can't wait for you to tell my listeners the rest of the story and how you were able to do what you did. Let's go ahead and get started. Talk to me a little bit about your background from India.
Sure. So I spent most of my life in India, worked, did my undergrad there, worked for a couple of companies, some of the big companies back in India, companies such as American Express, United Healthcare. And then I moved to Canada, I think almost five years ago, to pursue the MBA program in one of the best schools in Canada. And it was one of the most difficult decisions I made, primarily because I was leaving my family and going to a completely alien land. And it was a very expensive proposition too.
Oh, yeah.
But when I look back, I think I'm able to connect the dots now, given the fact that where I am, I think I'm very, very satisfied with what I've accomplished over a period of time. The journey was very, very tough, but in the end, it all turned out to be okay. I did my undergrads in commerce and worked for 5 more years. The logical extension for that was to do the MBA. And I did apply to a couple of schools across the globe. I did have offers from other schools too. But the reason why I chose to move to Canada was it was a one-year program. So I was saving a lot of time.
Oh, yeah.
And the school here was giving me a good amount of scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
So coming from a poor country, it was making a lot of sense. So just for the listener's perspective, to give you a certain context, a typical MBA program costs in the U.S. or for that matter in North America, if it's a two-year program, it would typically cost $150,000 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
The average salary of a student going into the program is around, in North America, a local student is around $70,000 to $80,000. So the ratio of the fee to the salary is around 2:1. However, coming from a a poor country like India, where the salaries are not that higher, the same ratio in my case was almost 6:7:1. So that was a huge, huge leap. And that meant that we were heading into the program competing with the local students at a very, very, low plank. We were at a disadvantage in terms of just the cost of living and, the cost of education for ourselves.
As far as your education, in reading your bio, it was pretty much funded entirely by scholarships and student loans from your home country, correct?
Oh, absolutely, yes, 100%.
Now, talk to me a little bit about what was the kind of specific type of loans did you take out, and what was the interest rate on that debt? And what I mean by the type, like were they subsidized or unsubsidized or private or government loans?
So just to give a little perspective, when we got the admissions offer to the school here in Toronto, the banks were willing to offer me loans in Canada at a subsidized rates, but I simply could not avail those because they were demanding that I get a co-signer in Canada itself. Now, being a person who was coming to Canada for the first time, I did not know anyone. I could not ask my friends in school to co-sign my application. So there was no way I could avail those cheaper loans here in Canada. So the only way I could rely on to fund my education was to get a high interest rate loan back in India. Now, typically loans, the banks in India are very good about funding student education, whether it's a local education or overseas education. In my case, it was overseas education. But the interest rates are very, very high. So if you take any of the emerging economies, the interest rates in all the economies are comparatively very high compared to some of the developed economies. To give you a context, at that point in time, the rate that I was offered for my education was in the ballpark of 10.75%. Oh. And it was fully backed by property. So my parents had to put in the ownership papers of their only property they had to fund my education. Mm-hmm. And it is not one of the best feelings to, you know, ask your family to mortgage the only property they have to fund your education.
Oh yeah. So you had to make sure.
But that was the only way.
Yeah. You had to make sure that, you know, you knew what you wanted to do and that you weren't going to play any games.
Yes. There was a lot of pressure and you had to do the right thing at every step.
Absolutely.
And, the rates were very, very high. So essentially what they did was when I got the admission, they gave me... So the overall tuition fee was for 1 year program only. And I want to emphasize that because it was not a undergrad 4-year degree. It was a 1-year program. And for that only, the tuition cost was $76,000. Mm-hmm. MBAs are typically very expensive programs. Mm-hmm. And I've only managed a scholarship of $7,500 to begin with when I got the offer letter. And the remainder was primarily being funded by the bank in India. Mm-hmm. And I carried some savings from my jobs in India so that I could cover my living expenses for 1 year in Canada.
Okay.
So that was my calculation to begin with, yeah.
Okay. So it sounds like student loans are the way they operate are a little bit different than over here. Essentially in America, as you know, I mean, all you have to do is have a pulse, you know, and you can get a student loan. So you're saying that you had to go through the bank. It doesn't work like that in India. Over here, does it, where essentially you just, as long as you're 18 and breathing, you can get a loan?
No, it doesn't work like that here. Also, if I was going to a premier institute in India, I would have gotten loans at a much cheaper rate. But banks would typically not take the risk of funding somebody who's going overseas.
Oh, okay. Like that. I understand. Well, Jadeep, I like the fact that you were able to reduce your student loan debt through scholarships. Talk to me a little bit about how you received the scholarships and some strategies you used to gain the scholarships and how you were able to find the scholarships.
Sure. It was pretty straightforward. When I applied for the program itself, I was given an initial scholarship of around $7,500. And the balance was initially being funded by a student loan from a bank in India. When I arrived, and it was a matter of pure asking. A lot of times students don't even ask. I just asked. I went to the admissions office and I said, listen, this is what my situation is. Is there any way you could increase the amount of scholarship that you have already allotted to me? And initially the answer was no. But within 3 weeks' time, I, out of nowhere, I got a reply that I had been chosen for an aid for additional $7,500. That was a big relief for me because I knew that based upon my finances, every penny counted. So that was a big relief.
Oh, yeah.
But the issue was that I was still paying very, very high interest on my student loan back in India.
Yeah.
And I was worried that if I do not get a job immediately after my program, I had no idea where to pay, how to, you know, repay my principal and interest on the student loan.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you had to really work hard to get the job. And that's what some of the, you know, students from the poorer countries had to go through. They had to really work hard. I remember I could not go on student trips. I chose not to go only to save money. So some of my peers in the class who could afford some of these trips, overseas study trips and all. I could not go there. I chose not to go there because I didn't have the money. It was as simple as that.
Yeah.
So my priorities were very, very clear. I chose not to work part-time during that phase because typically one-year programs are very, very intense.
Yeah.
And because I wanted to get a job, I wanted good grades.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I realized that I am not going to play short-term and have some long-term impact. Instead, I kept studying. I worked really hard and got good grades by not distracting myself by working part-time. That is not to suggest that people should not do that. But if I'm going to a school to study, I better make that my priority.
Absolutely.
If I can manage both things properly, I think then I should do that. So that was one part of the story when I managed some additional incremental scholarship. But the big change happened once I graduated. So I graduated and I still have that massive student loan to pay back and with huge amount of interest to pay. So what I did was that I joined a bank and I'm still part of the same bank. So within this bank, I've had multiple roles in risk management, commercial lending, et cetera, et cetera. The moment I graduated, within 6 months' time, what I did was I requested my bank to give me a personal loan. I knew it was cheaper in Canada. The loan at that time was, for the employees, it was 2.7% at that time.
Oh, well, that's a night and day difference.
It was essentially cheap money. It's free money.
Absolutely.
So because I was an employee, I was working for a Canadian bank. I just picked up the phone and called up the branch and explained to them my situation. I need a personal loan of around $35,000. And they agreed because I was a very low-risk candidate for them.
Mm-hmm.
I was working in the same bank. They knew my history. And they supported me. The moment that happened, I clearly remember that day, I transferred $35,000 back home to massively reduce my student debt. And the big difference was that was a time when the oil prices were significantly going up. It was around 2010-11. Oil was touching $130-$140 a barrel. Now, for your viewers, they might, to give a certain context, the Canadian dollar is linked to the oil prices, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially petrodollar. And what happened was that because I borrowed at that point in time, the Canadian dollar against the rupee was significantly higher.
Mm-hmm.
So the day when I transferred, when I look back, compared to the historical currency exchange rates, in that one transaction itself, I ended up making $3,000 to $4,000 extra.
Wow.
In rupee terms. So that was a huge relief for me. I recalled the branch manager because I was transferring so much of money at the same day. He was so happy because he too made a lot of money in commissions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it was all clean money. So that was a big, big relief for me. And the last part of the puzzle was that even though I had repaid my very, very expensive Indian rupee debt, I still had to pay the bank back in Canada, mm-hmm. right? And that's where the perseverance kicks in. I had seen the effect of debt, what it does to your paycheck every you know, 15 days or 2 weeks. And I was determined to pay it down as quickly as possible. Some people said, why are you paying it so quickly? Because the rates are so cheaper. Why don't you enjoy the debt? But I was determined not to follow the trap, fall into the trap of the typical North American lifestyle. I kept the student lifestyle. And I remember even after getting a good job, I stayed in a basement for 6 months. I could easily afford a nice apartment, but I was single and I realized I had the student loan to pay.
Absolutely.
So I saved every penny, and I paid it very, very quickly. So that was a story of perseverance. And I didn't have a car. I've just got my first car in Canada because I never needed it. I'd realized my priorities are different. I got to pay my student loans.
Exactly.
And therefore I will not spend money where it is not needed.
Exactly. So let me ask you this. So what would you like to share with students who are getting ready to take out large student loans to pay for college?
Firstly, they need to be very clear. What people need to have a clear understanding of debt. It's very easy to get into any program, any fancy school with a massive amount of student loan, but they need to have a clear picture. What will happen? once the repayment schedule kicks in? Are they prepared for that? So I've seen a lot of students who are completely unaware of these realities of life. But even more important than that, I think they need to have their priorities very, very straight. As I said, if they're going to school, they better get good grades. And if they are going to school, they should not, you know, splurge, so to speak.
Yeah,
it is
agree.
Not really important. It's not important to splurge. It is not important to, while your school is on, you don't need to go to Europe for your summer vacations. I know my friends did that because they could afford it. But you've got to just be very, very critically aware of your own realities. I was a first-generation immigrant. I had no family backing at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew my reality. I knew that if something went wrong, I could not call up, pick up the phone and call my family for more money. I could not do that. So I had to be very careful with my priorities. And after having gone through that process, completely eliminated all the debt, today I have no debt whatsoever of any kind, even mortgage. I have built my equity. So I came to Canada with negative equity of around $60,000.
Oh, wow.
I am not only eliminated that equity, I have built my significant equity by means of a house here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So wow. The lesson is that one needs to understand the relationship with debt. I'm not saying debt is necessarily bad, but now when I have an option, I just ask myself, can I put down money out of my own pockets? Or why am I taking this debt? If, for example, I bought my first car, as I explained previously, after 5 years, I have a nice job. I can easily afford a car. I still have that student mentality. It has stayed with me from my school days in Canada. And I put the entire money down, and the car is all mine. I don't need a very, very fancy car. I don't need to. I don't want to impress people like that, because I know if I'm driving a good enough car, that's good enough for me.
Exactly.
It's good lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
And I can tell all your viewers that there is no better feeling than not having debt. It's an amazing feeling to not have any debt. So perseverance is the key, I would say.
Wow, and that's definitely great advice, Jaydeep. Talk to me a little bit about, describe that feeling for me. Talk to me about and describe the feeling when you've made that last payment to get out of debt. Describe that feeling for me, and also tell me what was the first, what did you splurge? Like, how did you treat yourself after you paid off all that debt?
So, yes, I remember that day clearly. It was January, I think the first week of January, when typically in the banks we get our bonuses. And up until that moment, all my salary, my entire paycheck was devoted to paying down my student loan. So this was the moment when I got my annual bonus and my salary for January, first paycheck. And I went downstairs to the branch. We have a branch downstairs in the building itself. And I recall talking with the teller, who was a part-time student. And I told him that, listen, please apply this money to my outstanding student loan. And he was surprised. He says, oh, your student loan is going to be gone after this. And then he started asking me questions. And then he started praising me. Oh, it's amazing how you did that, because I too have student loan. And I told him, I know what you're feeling, but I would advise you, just go for it, man. And I remember, I still have that last payment receipt with me. I still carry it with me to just remind me what I've been through.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome, JD. Yeah, I completely agree. I'm kind of like that myself. I keep certain things, you know, that mean something. And definitely paying off that student loan, that was huge, you know, to have that weight off of you. Now, how did you splurge, man? I mean, did you splurge on anything, or did you treat yourself to anything?
So I'll tell you this. It's a stupid story. I went out for a trip, and it was a national park. We went out camping. I just wanted to go out. I hadn't gone out in a long, long time.
Okay, yeah.
And what happened, what happened is that it was close to a lake, and I went in for a swim. And since this was my first outing to a national park in Canada, I had no clue about the rules and regulations. And just to celebrate with my friends, I carried 6 packs of beer with me, myself.
Okay.
And I came out. I had a long, you know, swim for some time. I came out tired. It was sunny outside. I wanted a beer. And the moment I took the first sip in, from nowhere, two cops came over pulled me aside.
Oh, no.
Because in Canada, in Ontario, in the province of Ontario, it's illegal to drink in the open. And I did not know that. And it was the most expensive beer of my life.
Oh, God. So what happened? You can't leave us hanging here.
So I told them I can crash this thing if you want, but they insisted that I pay $200.
Oh, God. Well, that's good. In America, if it had been the same, kind of the same thing, you'd have been arrested probably here. But you should have just told them, hey, I just paid off $35,000 of student loan debt. Give me a break.
Well, that was funny. I mean, it was the most expensive beer of my life.
Absolutely.
I have that ticket to frame properly and laminated.
Fair enough. Well, JD, that is awesome. That is an awesome story. Thank you so much for taking some time and sharing that.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get this up on my website. And like I said, it really gives people hope. I mean, for you to come out of college with all of that debt, you know, you had a plan, and you stuck to the plan, you budgeted, and you just kind of made it happen, and you weren't going to, you know, like you said, live that typical North American lifestyle where, you know, just because you make more, you know, you purchase more and so forth.
Yeah.
You really got it together.
And it's very tempting. It's very tempting to take on more debt.
Oh,
if you look at the statistics in Canada itself, I don't know. I think in the U.S. the stats are pretty similar, but in Canada the current household debt, the ratio of household debt to personal income, is almost 165%.
Oh gosh!
And it's scary.
Yeah.
So people are just borrowing cheap money to fund their every activity,
absolutely,
vacations, cars, everything. Yeah.
Well, you definitely have it together, Jaydeep. And, like I said, thank you so much for taking some time, sharing your story. And, like I said, feel free to share this with anybody. Like I said, I'm trying to get the message across the country and the world, for that matter, that, A, try not to take out the student loans. But if you do, there are, you know, plenty of success stories on how to do it. You know, and kind of listen to the people that I have on my show. You know, some people take them out and some don't. You know, and I've been fortunate enough to speak with people that the ones that have taken it out, they're, you know, like you, they've been able to pay it off, and, you know, very quickly, and, you know, they've been able to secure, you know, good jobs, and they just kind of, they think at a different level, you know, they're, you know, debt is, you know, wrong, you know, so to speak. So I really, enjoyed your story and, you know, you giving your insights as well.
Thanks, Nick. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed our conversation.
All right. Well, I appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. You have a good day, buddy.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.